Welcome to the CLC podcast. CLC is the Columbus Leadership Campus of Point University located at North Highland Church. CLC exists to equip young leaders and to help them unlock their God-given potential through practical ministry training and a biblical education. For more information about our school, you can visit our website at clcgeorgia.com.
I am super excited to talk to you guys about joy. Joy is something that I believe that has saved my life, that has truly rectified who I am and changed me from the inside out. So before I get started, I'm going to pray, because if I just get up here and start talking, I'll ramble and go on lots of bunny trails and stuff. And like, you know, but when God's in it, I'm a little more focused. So dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for this school. I thank you for all the leaders that are in this room. God, I pray right now that this message would truly transform hearts, would allow people to see the joy in you, to bring it back to the focus, God, and see how powerful it truly can be when we choose joy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, for those of you that may not know my whole story, I don't know if you guys have talked about this in any of your classes, though, but I remember when Jubilee talked to the class about their sinful nature, it, like, blew my mind, right? So, because I'm really, like, I beat myself up. That's my go-to. If I mess anything up, I'm like, ugh, why? And like, so I would have these thoughts, and like, I thought that if I thought something bad, like, I was just like sinning, you know? So like, I would like think, and I would get mad, and I would process all these things, and like, I'll be like, why do I keep going back to this one thing that just makes me like feel like I need to sin? And so my sinful nature go-to kind of sin pattern is anger. Believe it or not, if I am not prayed up, if I'm not doing things, I get mad. I get really mad and I get really hateful. And like, you know, like, you guys all know that I'm sarcastic, but like, I like to ask this question to people sometimes, like, if I wasn't saved, like, so I know some people that if they weren't saved, like, they would be like a tough cookie. Like, you would not want to mess with them because they would like hurt you, or they'd be very rude. So I feel like if I was not saved, I would just be like, I'd be happy and like funny, but if like you crossed me, I would just like, because I'm very sarcastic and I was younger, like, I used to get picked on when I was younger. And so, but I realized I'm a lot smarter than the people that used to pick on me. So I started to like break them down mentally, and they were like, oh my gosh. And so I was like, yeah. And so like, it became this like whole big thing. I had to stop doing it. But like, my go-to thing is sarcasm and like anger. I would snap on somebody. Like, it's really bad. I'm gonna like let you into the life of Justin. But I was in like elementary school and middle school. Like, I would like have temper tantrums. I'd like throw books in class. And I would like, it was like, I was bad. Like, but it was like really, cause I try. I cannot hold a grudge. Like, I'll be so mad at somebody, and then 5 minutes later, I'm like, hey, man. And the people were so confused, because I would be so nice and so loving and full of joy, and then they would say something. I'd be like, why? You know, I just get so mad, and then, like, 10 minutes later, I'd be like, hey, do you want to go play on the playground? And I'm like, no! What are you talking about? So what I used to deal with was anger and bitterness and holding that against people and stuff. And so when I say joy changed my life, when I really learned how to tap into the joy of the Lord and kind of just ride out on the happy train and to stay there, it really changed me fully. And I credit that a lot to fine arts. And I didn't know it was fine arts when I was doing it. I think I've told this story a little bit, but when I was in the Carpenter's Way Group Home for Boys, which is in Harris County, if you didn't know that, I lived there during my junior and senior year of high school, which is why I say I'm from Columbus, because I know, I'll see people and they'll like recognize me, but they won't really know where I'm from, because like, I look a lot better than I used to. Like, it was rough. Like, I used to, like, for like 2 years, my glasses right here were broken, and then Damien snapped my glasses in half when I used to live with them. And like, it was just bad. It was bad. So like, I like had this like mantra. People knew me as like, you know, this person that was kind of like angry and going through these things. So I was attending Evangel Temple when I was living in the group home there, and they were doing this thing called fine arts. And I just saw people banging on trash cans, and I was like, that's fun. I want to do that. But then they were like, hey, in order to bang on the trash cans for fine arts, you have to sing in the choir. And I was like, wait. And so that was like a rule they had. And so long story short, because I can go into like really detail with that, I was surrounded by people that were truly just like happy, that weren't like happy like for some fake reason. They just had the joy of the Lord. And I was like, what is this? Like, you know, for half a second, I was like, are you just being nice to me? Because I'm a new guy. But it's just like they weren't perfect. They didn't claim to be, but they were truly just having fun. And we went on this choir tour thing and drove around the United States singing and doing all the fine arts stuff. And like, I was thrown on the bus with like 40 kids that loved Jesus. And I had never been in that kind of environment before. And it truly changed me. You know, some of those people I still know today. I still love Big Laura. I think maybe two of you know who Big Laura is, but we love Big Laura. She was on those trips, that whole family, Melinda Daniel, the Daniel family. They, like, I would go to their house on, like, Christmas and, like, make waffles with them. And, like, things like that. People adopted me and just showed me the joy of the Lord in such an amazing way. And that is what I want for each and every one of you, to understand that you can choose joy and change someone's life. Okay, so what is joy? It's a feeling of great happiness, a source of cause of joy, success in doing or finding something that you just love. That's what joy, you know, joy is like when you do something like really good, or you find someone you love, or you like do something, you eat something that's delicious, and that like 10 seconds of like, wow, that was really good. You know, that's joy, all right? And so what does the Bible say about joy, and why do I find joy to be so powerful? In Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Joy is so important. Understanding that tapping into the joy of the Lord can truly just rectify and change everything. It repeats it so many times. Those are just some examples of when God just tells us, hey, rejoice in God. Be happy. Cling to my commandments. All right? So there are several places in this world that make us happy, but there are some places that are known to just frustrate us. Has anyone ever shopped at Walmart? All right, so Walmart is that place that, you know, no one really loves, but for some reason we all end up there. Like, you know, you go to Target, you're like, yes. And you go to Walmart, you're like, okay, what do I need? Just gotta get in here, I gotta get out, because this is not a joyous occasion. Like, you know, Walmart is just like, it has the deals, but like, it's not like, mom, we're going to Walmart. It's like, okay, I gotta go to Walmart, I gotta get some stuff. They have a deal I reluctantly want to be a part of. So being the 90s kid that I am, back in the day, I used to leave Walmart with a smile, like physically, literally. They would give me a smiley face sticker, and it would make me so abundantly happy, all right? And so one day, I'm walking through Walmart, while I'm the youth pastor of Roswell Assembly. Lily was in my youth group at that time. Shout out to Lily, running pro back there. So she was in my youth group at this time. I was walking through Walmart, and this guy had the stickers. They weren't smiley face stickers. They were just the blue ones with the little white lines. I don't know what those are trash. But he had a sticker, and I was like, hey, can I have a sticker? And he was like, yes. Can I put it on your nose? And I was like, yes. And so I walked out, he put it on my nose, and I was like, you're awesome. What's your name? And he said, my name is Norman. Can we show them Norman? This is Norman, all right? Norman the doorman. He was a Walmart doorman, and he became a sort of an icon in our youth group. Norman, I would go to Walmart. I would make sure I walked in the right side. If the other lady greeter was there, I would make sure I smiled, but I made sure she knew that I really wanted Norman to be there. And I hadn't, like, she was nice, but she wasn't Norman. So I would start to talk about Norman all the time in like youth, and like people would go and come up, Pastor Justin, I saw Norman. And so like Norman just became this source of like this happiness and joy inside of Walmart that like would normally wasn't there. And we'll get back to Norman momentarily, but I want you to have that smile of Norman there. He's just great. He's a great man. Great man. I actually have his number. I called him a couple months ago. I'm like, Norman's a solid individual. But we'll tell that story a little while later. So next picture. This is Smiley, the logo, the mantra. Has anyone ever seen Smiley before? All right. So Smiley was the mascot for Walmart from 1990 to 2006. Nearly 70% of the people that still shop at Walmart recognize that face with savings. You know that if there was a deal going on, Smiley's little face would be hanging above that 50% off, and you're like, I am happy, not to be here, but about that deal. So I want to come here, Smiley. I recognize that, man, I see that. That is a good thing. I want to be there, all right? So what does that say about, what is, like, Smiley, make discount, joy, like, it fires off when you see a deal, you know? My wife, she's like, hey, we need to buy this. And I'm like, why? Because it's on sale. Okay, so we do the deals, we stop for the deals, because if we do it later, then it might be a lot more expensive, all right? So Smiley triggers that with you. My first question for you is, what does your smile say about you? When people see you, when they run into you, when you're walking through this life, what does your smile, your countenance, your walk with Christ say about you? Do you have to open your mouth for people to realize that you're a Christian? Or can they look at you and say, oh, there's a deal right there. Something good's going on over there. You know, can they look at you and be like, you know, I really want to be a part of what's going on there. You know, your smile has the power to change someone's day. Your joy, your countenance, how you carry yourself, what you choose to be a part of affects the rest of your day. Just this morning, you know, I am a firm believer that loud, upbeat music works a lot better than coffee for me. If I get up and I'm listening to some hype music, I'm like, yes, it drives my wife crazy because I'm like, I wake up and I'm like, let's go. And she's like, I'm like, yes. And sometimes I forget because I think like, it's like 10 o'clock. Everybody's awake. I've been awake for 3 hours. Let's go. You know, so I'll bust in the room like, hey. And she's like, what are you doing? And actually, she's like, And so I did it. I'm usually really good about it. Like, I try to like, but sometimes it messes me up because I'm like, I'm just going to let her sleep. And then she wakes up. Why am I still asleep? And I'm like, what? What? I thought you wanted to sleep. I have to be somewhere in 10 minutes. I'm sorry. I was up. I'm like, so, you know, it's a balance when you get married. You got to realize, okay, you know, you got to, should I wake him up? Is it worth it? You know, all different things. So it's a good balance. I apologize, Cassie, because it was yesterday. I think I walked in and was like, hey, we're going to the parade. And she was like, but she was excited about the parade when she got there. It's just the fact that I busted in the room, like, super excited about life. And it was just too early for that. So Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A joyful heart is good medicine. I say that because sometimes we can all, you know, being real, we're in CLC, we're together. If one of us is going through a hard time or is mad or is a little angry, it's kind of infectious a little bit. And like someone's coming through, they're like, I'm having a bad day. And the other person's like, I'm having a bad day. And you're like, well, they were rude to me, so guess what? I'm having a bad day. And then like it is, and then that one person comes in, it's usually probably Wesley. He's like, hey guys, and he's smiling. And everybody's like, why is he so happy? He's like, I'm having a bad day. You know, I say that because that was like me in school. Like, I would walk in and like, hey, and they're like, why are you smiling? Like I just lost hope, literally. Like, hope is gone. My GPA is just like, why? There's nothing to be happy about right now. And you just walk in, it's like, no, seriously, we're great, you know? It's always, sometimes it's very hard to, like, you know, spread that joy. But I'm here to tell you that a crushed spirit, crushed means pressed, squeezed, forced, and it can destroy things. God, don't allow this world to come around you to tell you that you cannot be happy and to literally crush and to squeeze happiness out of your life. You know, if it is infectious, negativity, all the different things can stop you, can hinder you, can keep you where you're at, and it can crush you. The word says it. And the enemy knows it, that if he can get you in a room, and you can start gossiping, and you can start saying stuff, and you can start being around there, and you yourself will get smaller and smaller and smaller until he can just be like, you're done. And I'm not going to allow you to move. I'm not going to allow you to grow because I want you to stay where you're at. But the joy of the Lord, choosing to be happy. Joy is a choice. Sometimes I'm having a bad day and I can sit in my office. I can be like, no one come in here. Door is closed. But my door is always open. And I'm always welcoming you guys in because I want that happiness, that love to spread. I want you to peek into my office and I'm typing something, bopping in my music. And look at this guy, you know. But I want to put on positivity. And like, no, I'm not trying to put on a front because sometimes, like, as a leader, I can't be like, hey guys, let me tell you, we got in a fight last night. And you guys would be like, this is just awkward. And we didn't. Last night was wonderful. Cassie was sick. She fell asleep early. And so I just went to bed. It was great. Great night. So those are like some marriage nights. So just like, you know, just go to bed. So like, it's just simple things. But like, you guys can't like put on a front and say like, sometimes it's right to be honest and to say, you know what, I'm going through a hard time. I'm going through, but like that is still choosing happiness, I believe, because lying is what gets you down. Lying and putting on the front and saying, hey, everything is good, instead of just, hey, you know what, I need some prayer. You know, I am having a rough day. You know, I feel like that is still choosing joy, because that power of prayer is what's going to bring you back to true happiness. But putting it down and digging a trench and saying, I'm just going to fake it till I make it, it's hard. So how do you find, you're saying, okay, Pastor Justin, you've been sitting up there saying, be happy. So, like, how do you find joy in your situation? You know, what are you supposed to do to find your smile? How are you supposed to, like, be truly happy? I'd say, like, you know, shooting straight, like, you guys have to want to be happy. You know, some of you might be thinking in your head right now, like, you know, I can't be. You know, things are going wrong. All this is happening. Like, I cannot be happy in this situation. But if you're saying that, you're telling me that my God can't change what you're going through. You're saying that you believe that God cannot bring you out of where you are and that you're there to stay. And that is a lie from the enemy. You can be happy. You can choose to put a smile on. Everybody, come on. You got it? Did you get that? I got it. You're quick. It was a McDonald's reference. But you can choose to be happy. You can choose to say, I'm going to get up. You know, I'm going to smile. I'm going to hang out with Wesley because he's a ball of joy. You know, I'm going to hang out with people that are positive influences. I know I'm not going to hang out with this group of people because I know that they're just going to talk and they're going to make me angry. They're going to try to spread gossip. They're not going to do anything that's going to benefit what I'm trying to do. And I'm not saying be rude or to be mean, but you know when you can't be around certain people. You know when you need to be prayed up. You know when you need to, like, say, you know what? I need to get on. I need to turn on some gospel music. I need to run around my living room and shout. And somebody might think I'm weird, but I'm going to have a great day because of it. I'm going to start my day high. So if the enemy tries to kick me low, I'm like, well, guess what? I'm still on top of the mountain. I'm still going to choose joy. I'm still going to be happy. And there's nothing that the enemy can do to steal that from me. You have to make a conscious effort to choose to be happy. You guys, you can't be happy if you don't want to be. You can't. If you don't say, hey, I want to be happy, I'm going to try to get through this, I'm going to fight, I'm going to hunker down, I'm going to say, you know what, the enemy is not going to come against me, he's not going to steal my joy, he's not going to come against my family. You have to choose to want to do that. If you're just going to sit there and not do anything, you can't expect a result. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. You can't say, you know what, I want to be happy, and then just do the same thing you were doing when you were miserable. You can't be like, hey, I want to see a life change and something shift in this culture, and I want to be a part of real life, or I want to be a part of what Vibe is doing, or I want to help out Pastor John and Ms. Betty and, like, really get a part of it and see life change and see something happen and not move. Talking is just word until you put action behind it. You have to be about what you say. You have to hunker down as they put power behind the words you're saying. 30% of us smile more than 20 times a day, and less than 14% of us smile less than 5 times a day. That's wild. You know, kids smile more than 400 times a day. Kids are happy. You know, like, this bring joy. You know, like, it's a good point. I think I smile a good bit, you know? But that's crazy. The average adult doesn't smile very often. They're kind of just about their business. They may smirk when they hear something funny on their commute and when they listen to the radio, and they may, like, laugh at a YouTube video that they have the 30 minutes to watch during lunch, and they might laugh at, like, you know, something else. But a lot of people aren't very happy, and that's sad. Like, I know, as a believer, as a Christian, someone that really chooses joy and loves joy, like, my heart breaks for the loss, for the burden, the people that are going through crazy things. But my heart really does break for people that aren't happy, that don't love what they're doing. And to have the mindset, I think me, Cassie, and Tony were talking about this the other day, but to have the mindset to think that they can't have any more. They're truly convinced by this world that they're stuck and where they're be. They have to work their job and be miserable and do what they're doing, and that there's nothing else for them. That breaks my heart, because God is love. God is a God of love, a God of joy, a God of so much more. And I feel that it's my job, it's our job as Christians to show people the power there is in truly loving someone and bringing them joy. We shouldn't be okay with this, seeing someone be broken, being hurting, just miserable. It shouldn't be just like, oh, you know, that's them. I'm happy. We should want to do something. We should want to move hearts. We should want to see life change. So, Smiley. We were talking about Smiley a little earlier, all right? So what happened to Smiley? You know, Smiley actually, maybe nowadays you've seen him kind of coming back a little bit if you've seen him in commercials, but he was gone for 10 years. Smiley was pulled from advertising, but the power of that marketing was so good that people still recognized it with him. And there was a statement released by the bosses of Walmart, and says, "We felt like it was time to bring back an old friend, one of the most recognized symbols of low price, Smiley. You know, it is time to bring our smile and our joy back." I feel like I need to preach this message because I feel that there are some people that have lost their joy. That smile all the time when we're around them, and smile, you guys smile when we see you and stuff, but I know what it's like to smile, but to be miserable on the inside. To smile when everything seems to be going okay, but truly be falling apart. Guys, it's time to find true joy again. It's time to truly be happy. It's time to have your joy in your life and your walk with God be a symbol for other people. That they'll look at Josh and say, you know what? I see God inside of him. I see the joy of the Lord that is his strength, and I want to emulate that. And I want to give him the place to speak into my life because he hasn't said a word, but it's how he lives. It's what he does. It's your work ethic. It's you going after something. It's saying, you know what? I'm going to put 110% into what I'm doing for Christ. I'm going to love it. We do what we do for God, and God does what he does for us because he loves us. And it brings him brings him joy. Like I like to think that when I'm living good and I'm having a great day, God is like, good job. I am proud of you. And maybe that's just me because like my dad wasn't around when I was little and I didn't have that guy. And so like I make like my vision of God is like it's a big old like, you know, dad. He tells me dad jokes and says, good job, son. You're doing great. Like if he was back there, he'd be like, yes, he'd have a big camcorder and he'd be like, man. Like, dad, you're so embarrassing, but you love me, and it's great, you know? So it's time to get your smile back. Understand that you have a reason to smile. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, handcrafted to do exceedingly abundantly more than you've ever asked, thought, or imagined. You have been handpicked to be in CLC, to be in this room, to hear this message, because God has something for you. You may have been discouraged, you may have been let down, but God has more. There is more for you. And you have to realize that you can share it. In 2002, from 2011, the University of Sweden confirmed that other people's smiles actually suppress the control that we have to not smile. So like when I do this and I smile, it's very hard for you not to smile back. You know, smiles are very contagious. It's hard for you to look at someone and not smile back. So I say that because when you have the joy of the Lord and you're living, it's really hard for people not to want to be around that. You can recruit for CLC just by living your best life for Christ. And people are going to be like, wow, they're happy. They're truly where they need to be. And they're going to want more of that. Smiles are contagious. The joy of the Lord is contagious. We are meant to be the light of this world, not the darkness, to bring joy, love, and light unto the world. As I get ready to close, bring it home, according to the Smithsonian Magazine, all right, this is pretty crazy, all right, the original smiley face was probably created by a graphic artist named Harvey Ross Ball, right, in Winchester, Massachusetts in 1963 to raise money for raise morale for his employees at an insurance company. All right, Ball finished the design less than 10 minutes, was paid $45 for his work, and never bothered to trademark it. All right, so this man didn't understand the value of smiling, the value that he had, and he was just trying to make some people happy. He was just trying to boost company morale, make a funny little graphic, sold it to somebody, it's gonna be good, and he was done. And a lot of us, I feel like, kind of do that with, like, you know, I'm gonna put a smile on, I'm gonna, you know, sell it to real life, and these kids are They're going to think it's great, and I'm just going to move on. You know, I'm going to come to chapel. I'm going to look like I'm going to have it all together, sell Justin and Jubilee the smile. I'm going to go back to my apartment. I'm going to cry because things are broken. God, it's not worth it selling out. True joy is what we should fight for. True joy that's connected to the love of Christ. In 2010, Wayne State University did a research project and examined baseball cards that were photographed of major league players in 1952. The study followed the lifespan of the players that smiled on the cards and that didn't smile in their photos of the baseball cards. Players that didn't smile in the pictures lived an average of 72.9 years, while the players that were beaming and had great smiles lived an average of 79.9 years. So I'm not trying to tell you that like smiling will make you live longer, but those facts, like that research, I feel like there is true proof. Like I all the older people that I see living to be like 190-something, they're some of the happiest people, you know, just living. The joy of the Lord will truly sustain your life. Choosing to be happy, choosing to not allow this world to get you down to tell you that you can't do something. You have all authority. You have the power. You are surrounded by people that want to see you succeed. Don't allow this world to keep you unhappy, to keep you depressed. Run towards joy. So Norman, I told you about Norman in the very beginning of the story. Norman actually became a really big part of my life. Not big, but I cared about him. He was a cool guy. Like I said, he became like a kind of a symbol in our youth ministry, and I started to talk about and just talk to him about what he was going through, about his life. I would walk into Walmart, and I knew that I was going to spend at least like 5-10 minutes just talking to Norman. And it became like a thing. Like I wanted to, because he looked so sad. That was the initial reason that I went up to him and asked for a sticker, because Norman just looked sad. And it became this thing where I would tell my students to go up and get a selfie with Norman. Can we show some pictures of selfies with Norman? All right, that's Matt, that's Caitlin. Your next picture, you know this person, there's Josie over there, and Katie, Kareth over there, some of my students. And it became like a thing. They would send me pictures, and I would walk in Walmart, and Norman would be like, I saw some of your friends. You know, I saw some new people, and he was so full of joy and love. And I'm not telling this story to kind of toot my own horn and say I did an awesome thing with Norm, but I'm saying it was such a simple thing. Such a simple thing that, you know, I didn't realize maybe the impact I was having on Norman's life until God kind of called me and Cassie to step down from our job at Roswell Assembly. And I was still, like, you know, around there, and I was gone from ministry for about 3 months in that season. It was scary, and I didn't know what was going on. But I was still going to Walmart, and I was still seeing my friend Norman. And so I walked through one day, and Norman wasn't there. And I was like, hey, where's Norman? And the lady told me that he was out sick for a while and that he had had a stroke, and he was not doing too hot. And I forget how, but somehow I got Norman's number. And God, I don't know why I'm getting emotional, but like, this is, I just love people. Like, I truly, like, that is why I do ministry, because I love people. So Norman had a stroke, and I remember I called him, and I remember going up to Cassie. I was like, hey, I want to do something special for Norman. And my wife was kind of like, you know, like, if you know me, like, when I get an idea in my head, like, it has to be executed. So I know that probably Cassie in the moment was like, what? But she was on, she's an awesome wife, and she was like, okay. So I remember calling him up and saying, hey, I want to take you out to dinner, because I heard that his birthday was coming up. And so I took Norman out to dinner, and I made him a birthday card. And so actually something I did, as you, all of you know, I love social media. And one reason that you may not know I love social media is because I with the power of the internet, the thought that I can like share something and like hundreds of people that I may not never see will see it and may be impacted by the joy that is locked inside of my vlogs. This is why I'm always happy when I make them. Or the fact that I post something and like something on there can inspire someone. So I posted on social media on my Instagram and Facebook that, hey, taking this guy Norman, he's had a really rough time. He doesn't really have a lot of family around here. Taking him out to dinner, and I want to make him a birthday card. And so I made him a birthday card. The birthday card's in the back, so I can show you guys after. But all these people started commenting, happy birthday, Norman, and saying these different things, encouraging words and stuff. And so I printed it. I Photoshopped, like, it looked like a Facebook wall and stuff, and I printed it out. And I took Norman out to dinner with his girlfriend, because Norman had a girlfriend. He was a stud. And it was, like, one of the most humbling things that I've ever done. And it felt like we were just talking. And like I said, I called him a couple months ago. He told me he was doing good, told me about his kids. I've never met his kids, but like his kids didn't live anywhere around there, and I don't know if he had done something like that recently. And I share all this to share the fact that, because you can change someone with a simple gesture, with being selfless, with wanting to see joy spread in this city, with maybe taking, you know, say, hey, I'm gonna go downtown, and I'm going to give a sandwich tonight to those people that I know that are down there that would love for me to go down there, maybe go with a group of friends so it's safe, and love on some people. You know? Let's be real. Like, when's the last time that we hung out with some real-life kids or some kids in the live or kids in the basement that weren't connected to us? And we said, I'm just going to love on them because I know they're going through a hard time. I'm going to get with two or three of my friends, and we're going to go out to lunch. Because you guys are leaders. You can change someone. And I know we don't have a lot of money. We can't do a lot of things. But I guarantee if you went up to Pastor Jonathan or me or somebody and was like, I want to do this for somebody, we wouldn't be like, sorry. We'd find a way to make it happen. If you're truly about trying to help someone and do something for someone. So I share this message because I truly want you to choose joy. Choose to spread joy. Don't be selfish. Don't be about yourself. Think of if God was selfish, where would we be? It feels like, I don't really want to get on that cross. That's scary. It was scary. It was a little scary, but he knew what he was doing and why he was doing it, and he was willing. So I share this just to ask if you are willing to choose joy and to share joy and to be a part of this. You bow your head and close your eyes. I'm just going to pray over each and every one of you. God, I thank you so much for this time, and I thank you for the students that are inside of this room, God. I pray that they would truly find joy. They would choose joy inside of their lives. They would go out of their way to spread love unto people, God. If they have lost their smile, if they have lost what their meaning of their happiness is, God, I pray that you allow them to find that, Lord, that they would surround themselves with people that would inspire them, that a smile would be contagious to them, God. They would surround themselves with people that love you, that are after the same things. Allow them to love again, God. To see you again, Jesus, to get out of their comfort zone, to choose joy, and to spread it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.